Welcome to the Continuous Delivery Podcast. My name is Zarar.
I'm Hino.
I'm Chubbo.
And I'm Cheesy.
Today, we're going to talk about cost of delay. I was first introduced to it in Reinertsen's book, which talked about the principles of product management. And there he kind of goes on about how if you delay delivery to the end user or your customer, you incur a penalty of some sort. You incur a penalty maybe in lost subscriptions or lost revenue. That revenue or those subscribers that you lost is your cost of delaying product delivery to your customer. Are there any alternate takes on cost of delay that kind of differ from what I just said?
Basically, what cost of delay is, it's for me, it's another way of explaining business value. Oftentimes, business value is expressed as the value that is added to the software or to the product, to the service. And in cost of delay, you're also taking into account, what if we do not add that? What is the effect? What is the cost that is actually associated with not adding that functionality? So it's really another way of expressing it. One of the benefits is that that you can express other things as well that otherwise you might not think of. What if we do not make that improvement, right? Is it adding functionality? No, it's not. But what if we do not do it? Does that increase our cost of maintenance and so forth? So it basically is a way to express the business value and include a couple of things that otherwise might fall through the cracks.
It's also kind of feeds into a prioritization tool as well, because we often are wondering like how to prioritize. We have all these four boxes that exist, you know, business value, feasibility, all that stuff. But cost of delay could very well be used as a prioritization input, at least.
Yeah, and I think it's important to be aware of the four archetypes when you talk about prioritizations, Zarar, because and this is one I found really valuable to work with product owners to learn about these, because it really helps to pinpoint the value of some of these user stories. So the four archetypes is one of the first is standard, which is just a regular feature user story. The other one is expedite, usually like bugs or defects would be something like that. Then we have fixed date. Fixed date is a classic for like a regulatory change. If you don't put that in place by that certain time, then you're going to get fined. And then we have intangible, and Hino hinted to the intangible earlier, where it's more about if you do a code improvement or if you take care of your technical debt, that is going to have less cost of delay. So when you look across these four archetypes, then suddenly the conversation is much more crisp on the product side. Which of these user stories or features should we prioritize, given that now we can pinpoint more that actual cost or what that's going to cause for the organization?
So conceptually, sign me up. I like the idea. It makes sense to me. I can always prioritize based on cost of delay and just say, hey, man, if you don't do this, it's going to have this kind of impact. I get it. How difficult is it to actually calculate that cost of delay? It's one thing to conceptually understand it. Are there any challenges in calculating it? Because it's kind of hard to say that if we don't get this feature, then that's going to be the impact.
I think it kind of depends. And because, for example, if it's a regulatory change and there's going to be a fine involved, it's very easy to calculate that. But I want to bring a different aspect into the conversation if I could, though. In some cases, I think cost of delay and using it can have negative consequences. And let me talk about what I mean by that. Again, the whole premise of cost of delay is, here's something that I want to have. It adds value. And if I have it right now, I start earning value. If I have it 6 months from now, I won't start earning that value until 6 months. So that value that I probably would have earned over the next 6 months is lost. But what I've seen in practice a lot is where they put a huge emphasis on that. Then the idea is about getting this thing out as rapidly as possible at all costs. And sometimes that takes precedence over getting it right. So in other words, that whole here's the value that I'm going to earn is an assumption. We might call it a hypothesis, or there's a hypothesis behind that assumption. And so one thing that I would just warn people against is an over-reliance on this particular metric, because what is your goal? What is your ultimate, what do you ultimately want to achieve? And we know that we can use continuous delivery and continuous deployment and some of the experimentation around it to make sure that we deliver the right thing. And it may not always be what you assume up front. Again, my whole idea with this cost of delay is that there's a lot of assumptions that we have to make up front to really start leveraging it that may or may not be accurate.
When you say assumption, then the first thing that I always hear is a risk. For me, assumptions are risks. And the risk really is materialized when the assumption turns out to be wrong. So one of the ways that I look at prioritization, because ultimately that's where you were going, Zarar, and I just want to throw this in there, that cost of delay or whichever method you use to try to associate value with the work that you're doing is not the only piece that goes into prioritization. You also need to somehow look at effort, but that's for a different conversation. However, when we look at those risks, I like to use risks a lot more to prioritize and to help me prioritize. And when you are introducing a certain feature based on those assumptions that you mentioned, Cheesy, and you're adding more risks to the mix, then you might be worse off than before you started. So that's obviously important as well. And it's to validate those assumptions or to address those risks and knowing that you're indeed getting rid of them, that you're mitigating them, that's where continuous delivery then again comes in, because you can use your faster experimentation and your fast feedback loop to learn about those assumptions and whether or not they are correct.
And I guess there's always some organizational knowledge that can indicate what your cost of delay would be for a particular product. Like I find it is very easy to calculate it if you have a production issue where, you know, maybe some issue is going on where, you know, nobody can sign up to your website. Well, you can tell that on average, you average 50 signups an hour. And if it's down for 2 hours, your cost of delay is 100 subscribers. It's very easy to calculate it that way. But maybe to Cheesy's point, if you are trying to figure out how to calculate your cost of delay, maybe you first need to run some sort of experiments to see what the appetite for that feature you are thinking about delivering is so that you can actually understand what your cost of delay is.
Well, the best thing you can try to do is try to figure out if you can add small experiments to reduce the assumptions that are associated with that particular piece of functionality. And reducing those assumptions might just be, can we find out more about the likelihood that this assumption is wrong? Can we find out more about the cost if this assumption seems to be wrong? And if you add small features in to the mix that that give you more information related to those things, that might help you move forward.
So I think that this is a valuable metric, by the way, and I don't want to come across as too negative in that, but I find that it's not one that I personally go to very often with my teams, because it's not something that you know we rarely have this concrete stance, and so as a result, it rarely ever applies. And what I mean by concrete stance, which is, here's something that we have to go, and here is exactly that value. But what I tend to find is the things that I work in are a lot fuzzier. For example, we want to increase the number of customers that do X. Well, how would you apply a cost of delay to something like that? You know, it's like, well, we don't know how many customers we can improve, you know, how many we can have or have do X. But we could try a lot of different things and see if it improves that. So again, cost of delay might be something that works in some limited contexts, but overall, I think whenever we're talking with business users and trying to understand their goals are much, much more fuzzier.
Yeah, and I think the word cost sometimes throws people off. At least it throws me off, because as soon as you hear that term, you immediately try to calculate some sort of a financial metric to account for the delay. And oftentimes that metric, as you said, Cheesy, is fuzzier than it's applicable. Another way you can look at it, and maybe not call it cost of delay, call it something else, is that, like, what is the impact of not doing something regardless of if it's quantifiable in dollar terms?
Yeah, I was about to say that the reputational cost or reputational risk is one of those examples where it's very, very hard to put a dollar figure on it, yet everybody knows right away that this is a problem if you don't fix it, or this is a problem if you don't do certain things with our application.
But it's true for every measurement that tries to measure business value, right? It's really hard to calculate that up front. It's a lot easier to take a baseline of your revenue, introduce your feature, and then basically calculate what the difference was after introducing that feature. But beforehand, trying to estimate it is really, really hard, even though that's what goes into every single business case.
So when I think about the real cost of delay, then the real cost of delay is delaying actually running the experiment to learn, or in other words, the delay in learning. Because the only way to deliver world-class products is to have a lot of learning associated with that delivery process. And in places where we release software, you know, on a long cadence, like every month or every few months or something like that, there is a significant cost, which is that we delay the learning. We delay that, and value is also delayed in that context. So maybe in more of your traditional delivery models, this might have more relevance. But the more I'm thinking about it right now, the less I think that this has relevance for a place where we are able to really, really tighten those feedback loops and run lots of experiments and deliver rapidly.
Yeah. And maybe the other way to kind of amend this concept is to Hino's point, look at it from a risk perspective. Is maybe if you can't calculate a cost of delay, maybe you can talk about the risk of not doing something, the risk of not introducing a better process in your deployment pipeline, the risk of not having clear guidelines on how to implement something. So maybe if you're listening to this podcast and trying to figure out how to apply cost of delay, maybe it's more conceptually we can look at and go, what is the impact of not doing something? And maybe then it becomes more of a useful tool.
And if a monetary value does not work for you, maybe you can express it as full-time employees or effort that is involved to deal with the manual work that would be automated. That ultimately boils down to a cost as well. Maybe you could look at it as, okay, well, what if this happens? We need to introduce, what if this risk occurs or materializes? We need to have a team of five people who will be working on this thing for 2 weeks. Maybe that's your calculation. So there are a couple of things that you can try to use to basically get to an understanding of what your cost would be. And ultimately, people in management will always like to see this associated with a monetary value because it's easier to calculate. But you might need to be a little bit creative there.
And that concludes this edition of the Continuous Delivery Podcast. Goodbye.